for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, May the 29th, 1983. Memorial Weekend Deliverance and Teaching Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Glenn Miller is the speaker of the morning.
The Lord. I appreciate all of you who have traveled and come to be with us. I wish it were possible for us to sit down and visit with you or go have lunch with you. There are some that have come that I really wish I could take time to visit with you more than we can, but it just isn't possible. And I hope you understand that. And when we come your way, from time to time, or if we ever get a chance to come your way, well, then we probably will be able to visit with you as we would like to here. We appreciate your coming, and we appreciate your presence. And most of all, we appreciate what the Lord has done and is doing for each one of you. And this evening, as Brother Worley ministers the theme of deliverance this evening, I believe that there will be yet again another piece of the onion peeled off as he ministers a different thought of deliverance tonight, that we'll come to another understanding and another revelation of the needs in our lives, and the powers of Satan will be broken in those areas that he ministers in this evening. This morning, I want us to turn over to the 6th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read from verse 12. Matthew 6 and 12. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, if ye forgive not men their trespasses. That's the way it reads, doesn't it? Your heavenly Father will also forgive you. No. If you forgive not the trespasses of men against you, then neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness is one of the cardinal laws of deliverance. And without forgiveness, you'll not get very far in asking the Lord to help you and to get the things out of your life that torment and bother you. Forgiveness is a thing that we must accept, and we must with our whole heart enter into and partake of. We must forgive. And then we are required to be forgetful. We must also forget. Because you don't truly forgive if you bring it up tomorrow and next week and next month. You haven't forgiven from your heart. You may have forgiven with your head, but not with your heart. And the Lord requires that we forgive with our heart. We must eliminate using something against somebody in a way to condemn or find fault and hold something over somebody's head because of something they've done. If we want to serve the Lord, and I trust and believe that everyone that comes here basically wants all that the Lord has for them, then it's necessary that we forgive and we forget, regardless of what the situation is. Let's turn over to the 8th chapter of John. And I'm going to read from the 10th verse. Jesus has been The woman was taken in adultery. And they've called Jesus in to try to trap him. And when they had all gone and left Jesus alone with the woman, verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more. She was taken in the very act of adultery, for which the law said she should be stoned. And that was a major thing. And the Lord said, Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. And I wonder sometimes how much of Jesus that we have, that we can say to those who have hurt us and to ourselves, that we forgive them completely, so that whatever they've done towards us, we can say with our heart, Lord, I forgive them. Help me to sin no more by holding this against them. Whether we've been wrong, whether it's been wrongfully against us, and we can say, I have a right. And that's what we hear all the time, but I have a right. I have a right. I have a right. No, we don't have a right. I don't have a right, and you don't have a right. The Lord says to forgive, and then we must forget. We must learn, if we're going to grow into mature sonship, we must learn to have the grace that the Lord extends unto us. The Lord extends, we live in what is called and considered the era of grace, or the dispensation of grace. If that be so, and that be true, then we must be those who show that grace. Because without us showing that grace, there is no grace. We are the ones who carry that grace and extend it unto others. Just as Jesus came to bring grace, then we also must extend that grace and be the extenders of it unto others. And do it because the Lord gives it unto us. Let's turn over to the 11th chapter of Luke. Verse 4. Jesus says, teaching the disciples how to pray. He says, And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we have to learn when we pray that prayer, and we need to pray it often, that we really pray it from our heart, and that we mean it, so that we will not be led into temptation. And the temptation that rises up is revenge. The temptation that we find that rises up and rears its head in us is revenge. I'm going to get even. I'm not going to let them get away with it. They're not going to do that to me. I'm going to show them that they can't get away with that. I'm going to get even with them. Revenge rises up. But if we're going to walk in the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to learn that we have to forgive and forget. And we have to stand against the spirit of revenge in every circumstance and situation. It's so prevalent among husbands and wives. He hurt me, he's not going to get away with it. She hurt me, she's not going to get away with it. I'm going to get my jab in. I'm going to get my ice pick and run it into the hilt. They're not going to get away with it. We have to be like Jesus. We have to turn the other cheek. No matter how hard it hurts, we have to learn to turn the other cheek. That's something that you have to have the Lord help you with. It isn't something you can do just because you want to. You have to have the Lord help you. You have to say, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And help me again. And help me again, Lord. And then help me again. We have to learn to be able to willingly turn the other cheek. And it's awful hard. It's very hard. It's not an easy thing to do. But we have to make ourselves do it, because that we are a manifestation of the Lord Jesus in the earth. And if we're going to be, and if we are, then we have to show it. And we have to show it to each other and to all those around about us, that the world may know that Jesus dwells within, and that His love and His life flows out from us unto others, just as His love and His life flows out unto me and unto you. We have to be able to be a manifestation of that. Let's turn over back to the 18th chapter of Matthew. And Peter has come up here in the 18th chapter of Matthew in the 21st verse and asked the Lord how many times he's supposed to forgive somebody who threw a rock and hit him in the head with it or whatever. Verse 21 says, Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Now that's 490. And this is applying to one situation in one day's time. In other words, what it's amounting to is forever. It's really what he's saying. Continuously. Yes. Continuously. Yes. But if somebody were to do something against you 490 times in one day, the same thing, you would really get pretty tired of it, wouldn't you? It would really become ridiculous. It really would become ridiculous. But the Lord says that no matter how ridiculous it is, and how oft it happens, that we are required to forgive regardless. Forgiveness is one of the main things that hinders deliverance. Unforgiveness hinders deliverance. And we can't impress too much on each one of us, on myself and on everybody, how important it is to forgive, to forgive, to forgive. In verse 32 of the same chapter, it said, then, and the Lord is speaking of the parable here, where the servant who was forgiven so much, and then he turned around and did not forgive. And the Lord called him a wicked servant. And in verse 32 in the parable, he says, and then his Lord, after he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest of me. Should not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him unto the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses against you. We have got to learn to really forgive. No matter what somebody has said against you or about you or contrary to your feelings, we've got to learn to forgive. We have to do it because we want to. And that's very hard for you and me to do it because I want to. But we must learn to forgive. And we must learn not to hold grudges, because that's the same thing if you hold a grudge. And once it's made right and you forgive them, or if you've done something against somebody else and you've made it right, then it's important that you remember it no more. That it's buried as far as the east from the west or in the deepest sea. It's buried never to remember it again. Turn with me over to Mark, the 11th chapter, verse 22. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whatsoever thou shalt say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. And if thou shalt not doubt in your heart, but shalt believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, we hear that taught all over the country. Faith. Faith as a mustard seed. Faith as a mustard seed. You have whatsoever you want. We hear it, don't we? Okay. I think they forget to read the next two verses. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So we say, Lord, you say I can have whatsoever I ask for. If two shall agree and believe, we'll have what we ask for. That's all true. But there's a little more that goes with it. You shall have whatsoever you ask for, if you don't forget to forgive those who have trespassed against you, and forgive them and forget. And that is a key to having the faith of the Lord Jesus and having what we ask for, if we forgive. I tell you, I feel this so desperately inside of me. And I bind the heaviness over this place now in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of rebellion against forgiveness. I take authority over it in Jesus' name, and I rebuke you, you spirit, against forgiveness. I rebuke it in the name of the Lord. And I speak into the heart of every person in the sound of my voice that they will receive the word, and it will be enter into their hearts, and they will realize that they must forgive those who have hurt them. In Jesus' name, I decree this to be so in every heart here this morning, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that our prayers be not hindered when we pray, and that the Lord hears and answers us as we lift our voices up unto Him. And I thank you, Lord, for hearing us this morning. I praise you for it as we determine to forgive and to forget. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. If Satan can hold us in a place of unforgiveness, he's got us bound so that we can't praise, we can't worship, we can't understand the Word. He's got us bound to where we're not a practical Christian serving the Lord as we could, because Satan has us bound in unforgiveness. And then that binds up many areas of our lives to where we can't come to a fullness of the blessing and the joy of the Lord because of unforgiveness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, I'm going to read 31. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven me, or forgiven you. I like when I read the Bible, I put it in so it applies to me. I read it me, mine, and so forth. So we're told to put these things away so that we can truly be forgiven of the Lord as we forgive others. Colossians 3 and 13. It's very hard to do. It tells us, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you, or do me. Forbearing one another. And that's very hard for a lot of us, to forbear one another, to put up with one another's faults and one another's problems without rising up and being hateful or saying things mean and hard. But the Lord tells us that we are to forbear one another, forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also you do the same. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Jesus is on the cross. He's been hanging there, and he says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I wonder if we were placed today in that same position, if we would say, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. And that's the truth. When people come against us and say things against us and do things against us, they really don't know what they're doing. And we need to learn that we're not to take the sword and go after them as Peter did and try and cut their ears off and put them down. we need to learn to be able to be sweet and loving and kind and to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the unlovely, we need to be able to put our arms around them and to love them and to tell them that Jesus loves them and that regardless of what they've done, the Lord loves them and we forgive them and He forgives them. And we ask that they will, if necessary, bend their knee and ask the Lord to forgive them also if they haven't, if they're not a Christian. But if they are a Christian, then we need to put our arms around each other and rejoice together and acknowledge that Jesus is our Lord and that we're working and laboring for the same purpose and the same cause, and that we need to do it in unity and in love and forbearing one another, that we may in love bring unity to the body of Christ, because Satan is determined to bring disunity, to bring disharmony, to cause strife, and to cause confusion so that he can have a heyday and that the work of the Lord will not prosper and go forth. But by the authority in the name of the Lord Jesus, we declare that he will not prosper and that he will be put underfoot and that the work of the Lord shall go forth and that we shall be those who forgive and forget, and that shall be extended to us the grace and the mercy and the love of the Lord Jesus. Because that is our portion that the Lord gives to us, that we may in turn give it back unto others, that our lives may so shine and so be seen before men that they may know that Jesus in a reality is Lord of our lives. And if we don't have the fruit to show it, then what example are we before men of Jesus? Because Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we are no better than he. In fact, we're not as good. But we must come to a place where we can do likewise as Jesus said, that we can say from our hearts, I forgive them, for they knew not what they did. And that must become in the deliverance ministry. And those who are working and moving in the deliverance ministry, that must be a cardinal rule in your life, from your heart, from your very being, that you forgive because Jesus forgave you. Let's turn over to 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's conditions, you see. For now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attentive unto the prayers that are made in this place today. And as we come and pray and bring our petitions before the Lord here this day, for whatever our needs are, or for our deliverances or whatever, we must do it in thanksgiving and in praise, but most of all, in forgiveness unto those who have hurt us. Turn with me over to the 86th Psalm. And David is telling us here in the 5th verse of the 86th Psalm, he says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. And this week we have been calling on the name of the Lord. We've been calling on him for deliverance. Now this morning, before we finish here, we're going to call on him for forgiveness. For forgiveness for ourselves, for forgiveness for those that we hold anything against, and even to those who we feel that we have forgiven. And if the Lord brings them to your memory this morning, again, ask the Lord to forgive you for not forgiving them and help you to make it right and help you to not harbor anything in your heart that will keep you from coming into a walk with the Lord that he would have you to walk in, so that you will be a light unto men, that they may know that Jesus lives and dwells in our hearts. You know, men say, well, I'm as good as they are. I'm as good as they are. That's what they say about the Christians. Why should I? I'm just as good as they are. Well, the Lord wants us to be an example so that men will know that Jesus dwells in us, and they can't say that about us. Not that we're so good or anything like that, but that our lives will shine before men and be such that they'll not be able to say that about us, because our very presence will convict them of the sin of their lives, and they'll feel uneasy around us. Why? Because of the presence of the Lord that rests and flows forth from us. When Solomon dedicated the temple in his prayer that he prayed over in the 8th chapter of 1 Kings. I want to read part of that prayer, starting with the 37th verse of 1 Kings chapter 8. And Solomon is dedicating the temple, and he's praying for the people, and he says, "If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all the people of Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, Jesus, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live." And he says up here that every man knows the plague of his own heart. And Lord, help us this morning to dig out the plagues of our own hearts and to bring them before the Lord and ask the Lord to cleanse us and to forgive us, so that we may walk in a pathway of holiness and righteousness, and that deliverance, which is the children's bread, may be brought unto us. And that, you know, when we pray with people, about at least half of the time, before you get through praying with them, you have to stop and ask them to forgive. Someplace, somewhere, the Lord shows you something that they haven't forgiven, something or somebody, and you have to stop and ask them to pray a prayer of forgiveness, and then say, "Do you mean that from your heart? Really mean it. Don't just say words. Mean it from your heart." And then go back and pray with them so they can be set free. But help us, Lord, to learn to come in, and really in a spirit of forgiveness, that we'll be free, that we can be free from the plagues of sickness and disease and all of these things that torment us, and we can come out from underneath these things and walk in holiness and righteousness and come into a fullness of the Spirit of the Lord, so that our health will be renewed. I believe that our health, that we're coming to an hour and a day when our strength and our health shall be renewed as the eagle, and as we'll walk into a fullness of health and life and strength. Now that sounds way out to a lot of people, but I believe that we're coming to that. And I expect it in my life. Now, there's a lot of things that bother and torment me in my physical body. But I'm believing, and I'm expecting, and I'm walking in the belief that my body shall be redeemed as I walk in it here and now. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Turn with me over to Psalms 130. And David is crying out here in this 130th Psalm. He's crying out for himself, and he's crying out for the people. "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ear be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." There's not any of us that really have the fear of the Lord that we should have. We need to reverence and fear the Lord. We need to come into the house of the Lord with reverence. We need to come in a spirit, and if we don't have it when we come in, we need to come in and pray and get a spirit of prayer and a spirit of the Lord to rest upon us, so that you bring into the house of the Lord the presence of the Lord and the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and we need to learn to hate evil. We need to not put up with things and say, "Oh, that's okay. That's just a little bit gray, you know." But the Lord says that we need to learn to hate evil and to fear the wrath of the Lord. People don't seem to realize that the wrath of the Lord has to be poured out and judgment has to come. Where there is sin, there has to be judgment. But people don't fear God's judgment. They think that it's off somewhere in the by and by someplace, or after you're all raptured away, then the judgment of God's going to come down on the earth. Well, I hate to tell you, But that just ain't the way it's going to be. We're going to be here right in the middle of it. And only to those of us who stand in holiness and righteousness to the best of our ability, crying out unto God, will the hand of the Lord rest over and protect and cover in the day of God's judgment. God has promised to care for us and cover us in the hour of His judgments. Those who, just as He did His prophets of old, and just as He covered the children of Israel with a cloud of glory and protected them by day with a cloud and a fire by night, so will His hand once again rest over His people wherever they are when in the day of God's judgment and wrath. His hand will rest upon them, because I believe that the people of the Lord, that His people will stand up and administer the judgments of God. I believe that. And it behooves us that we get ourselves right before God, so that we'll be part of God's bringing forth His judgment, so that His wrath, when it comes, will not fall upon us, but that we will be covered and protected in it. Now, that should put the fear of God in some of you and in all of us, because God is bringing up people, an army, and the called out ones. He's raising up these people to minister His word in the land and to declare, thus saith the Lord. And he's requiring of us a walk of holiness and righteousness so that He can use us and so that we can be partakers of His glory and His blessings. But we cannot be partakers of it if we hold in our hearts unforgiveness against our fellow man, if we hold malice against them, if we hold something against our wife or our husband. We cannot be partakers of the blessings of the Lord as we should be. We can be a little blessing, but I don't want a little blessing. I want to walk and live in the blessings and the glory of the Lord. I want His majesty and His presence to dwell and be amongst us continually, not just now and then, but I want the glory and the presence of the Lord to rest, and as the Shekinah glory rested over the children of Israel with the cloud by day and the fire by night continually, I want it to continually rest over each one of us. No matter where we are, that our house shall be the dwelling place of the presence of the living God, so that there shall be a presence of God in your house, so that when people walk into that house, they shall say, there's something different here. I feel something in this place. And it'll only come through being repentant before the Lord and seeking the presence of the Lord in your life and desiring that presence and walking in that presence in the Word and being one who is quick to forgive and to repent. That's the only way we can maintain that place and that presence in the Lord, is being one who will quickly come and say, Father, I sinned, or wife or husband or someone else, I've said something, I've been a talebearer, I confess it, forgive me and help me, Lord, to keep my mouth shut and to bear and to forgive and to do just as Jesus said on the cross, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Convict us, Lord. Convict us, Lord, so that there'll be unity in the body of Christ, so that there'll be love and charity in the body of Christ. And just because someone's done it against me, help me to be quick to forgive, so that the conviction of the Lord will rest upon them, so that then the Lord will convict them, so that they will be convicted of what they've done. You see, the Lord uses us in both ways. He uses us to be conviction unto someone else, so that they will call on the name of the Lord and ask the Lord to forgive. We have to flow together in harmony and unity and the love of the Lord. And that only comes as we desire and seek to be like Jesus. This morning, I'm going to ask Nina to come up, and we're going to sing that 130th song. I'm going to ask you all to stand, and we're going to sing Psalms 130.
Praise you, Jesus.
And as we sing that, I want us truly to cry out from the depths of our hearts.
Hallelujah, praise.
And ask the Lord to show us any wicked way that be within us, and help us, and ask Him to turn the spotlight of His love upon us. And then help us for whatever the Lord shows us. Whatever it takes, help us to be that channel that the Lord can flow through to bring deliverance and healing and restoration in our homes, in our lives, and in the body of Christ. That we can flow and move together in unity and in love, and be able to say, when Satan comes, that he can find nothing in us. And then we can likewise say, forgive them, Father, and I forgive them, for they know not what they do, just as the Lord did.
Out of the dead. have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. Out of the depths have I cried to thee, Lord. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, Lord. Out of the depths have I cried to thee, Lord. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Out of the depths have I cried to thee, Lord. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, Lord. Out of the depths have I cried to thee, Lord.
Father, I come in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I take authority over every spirit of unforgiveness here this morning in the name of the Lord. In every one of our hearts and lives, I bind the spirit of unforgiveness. And I take authority over it in Jesus' name. And I speak to you unforgiveness. And I command you to loose each one of us and come out of us in the name of the Lord. And give us humility, Lord, and humbleness to be able to forgive and to ask forgiveness. And I bind that spirit of unforgiveness now in the name of the Lord. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I curse you to the roots. I bind your powers, and I rebuke you over these people, and I command you to come out of us and loose us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Every spirit of unforgiveness, every spirit of unforgiveness, come out and loose us in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father. I praise you for it. Put within us, Lord, a determination, Lord, that we will forgive, that I will forgive. I will forgive. I will forgive. And I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it today. I bless your name, and I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Help us, Lord, to take it to heart. Help us, Lord, to walk in righteousness and holiness and seek after Thee for Your name's sake and for Your glory. And I praise You and I thank You for it today. I thank You for it. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name. I sought the Lord, and He heard my plea, and delivered me from all my fears. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be Psalms 34 if you want to find it. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name. I sought the Lord, and He heard my plea, and delivered me from all my fears.
Father, I thank You this morning for opening up our hearts to hear the word of the Lord. I thank You, Lord, for working in every heart present here this morning, and everyone who shall ever hear this tape, that Your Spirit shall work in their hearts, and that You will truly bring us to a place of forgiveness, Lord, for of each other and everything, Lord, that has ever hurt us. Help us, Lord, to truly forgive. And, Lord, help that spirit of forgiveness from You to rest upon us, and the spirit of unforgiveness to be taken away, that we may truly be a light that shines on a hill that cannot be hid, that men may truly know that Jesus is Lord of our lives. Now, Lord, I pray Your blessing and Your anointing upon each one here this morning. And I thank You, Lord, that they were present this morning, that we may worship and praise and magnify Thee together, for Jesus is Lord of our lives, and help us to truly make Him Lord of lords and King of kings over every situation. And I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.